it's the end. There'll be no more wars if you know what I mean. Let's face it, lesbians don't fight. If everybody was like Matt Weinstein, world would be happier if you know what I mean. Let's face it, this lesbian knows how to make us laugh, make us smile. So keep on listening to East Radio. You'll never know where it'll go. From New York, baby, back to Chicago.
Memories will be relayed to you in this podcast. Hi, I'm Madge Weinstein. You can just call me M for Madge. M, get it? I'm M. The letter M is me. Hey. You know, this Elon Musk business with his, what is he doing with this? He's talking now, he's completely insane. And I know he makes rockets and everything, but, like, it's weird how some huge genius can have such amazing thoughts and then complete bullshit at the same time. And I honestly don't know which is which. But the thing of it is. My name is Madge, which begins with the letter M. Just saying. I'm a lesbian, food allergies. Oh, Elon Musk. So, he's talking about implanting some sort of a neural link in your brain, and then you wouldn't even know you have it, and you can get, your brain would just sort of, you know, be some sort of a subsystem to some other system, and then you're just fucked. But maybe that's what we already have. Who the fuck knows? But what I'm interested in is, you know, people were discussing this business back and forth in different forums and whatnots. And the thing is, they were, I don't know who was saying this, if it was Elon Musk or some of the comment, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. My point is just this. So they were saying, like, so it could be possible to take your whole brain, download it, and implant it into a robot or another organism or something, and then that person has all your memories. So what they were suggesting is that sort of makes you live. You're still living, right? You're not going to die. But my question is, who's experiencing those memories then? So if you take me, Madge, M, the letter M, you know, humpback, wait, is that humpback is the letter M or is that a W? Humpback, crooked letter, humpback. Oh no, humpback is P, I think, in that. You watch that show on Stars about the strippers? Pussyville? Pussy Valley. P Valley. It's good. Not really, but it is. I feel like seeing hard penises for once. Got a hard, big hard black penis in there. But anyway, or two. Some soft ones as well. And I think they're real, not the, like, prosthetic kind they used for boogie nights. Because Marky Mark had a small dong, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so who's experiencing those memories? So, like, let's say you take me, Madge. Oh, I got stuck in my name last time. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall for that. You take my memories, and you implant it into, say, a robot. And that robot acts exactly like me. But then are there two of me? So, I mean, okay. Intuitively, what it sounds like to me is a fucking car alarm where I was going to go sit, motherfucker. intuitively, it sounds to me like I'm me. Where's the fucking observer? You know what I mean? Where's the fucking observer? So you have all the exact same memories. Let's say you duplicate me. Let's say you duplicate me. And then there's me, this Madge and the vagina holder. And then there's the robot me. So where's the observer? I assume the observer is separate from me. But if you duplicated me, then you also duplicated the observer, right? I don't know. So then there's two observers. Because why would you assume that the observer that there's just one observer? That doesn't make sense, does it? Based on what we know about technology and philosophy today, right? So whatever the observer is, that's being duplicated too. So it's not me. You've cloned me, and now there's two of me and a car alarm. So you've cloned me, and now there's two of me, two observers. So I don't live forever. I'm still dead. So let's say, okay, so let's say you cloned me, this fucking car alarm. I was going to fucking sit there. So let's say you clone me. Why am I walking towards a car alarm during a fucking show just to annoy my fucking audience? I'm gonna pause. Jesus, fuck me.
I never had any split personality. I have a hell of a temper. It's southern.
Hi, everyone. I'm back. The car alarm stopped. Thank God. So now I'm going to go into that little park where I sat last time. And, yeah. I thought car alarms ended in, like, the 90s. Remember when car alarms used to go off anywhere? Everywhere? They don't work anymore. I mean, they don't work. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, so there's me, right? There's mini-me, Madge, multiple Madge, me's. Multiple Madge me's. M3, let's call it. Wink, wink. Let's see. Multiple Madge me's. So there's multiple Madge me's, right? So you take me, and then you clone me. Not clone. I don't like that. That's biological. You take a robot. You create a robot that has all the capabilities of a human brain and body. You take me. I'm still alive. You duplicate everything in my consciousness, whatever, my brain, all my thoughts, my systems, and you implant that into the robot. Then you turn on the robot acts just like me. You give her a microphone, she bitches about her vagina. The same shit, but in a different way, you know, because as soon as the experiences start to change, the person starts to change. But then you kill me. You kill Madge, I'm dead. This me, the biological me. And you have this other Madge, but I'm dead. Because who the fuck said the observer is the same? You duplicated the observer. It's not the same observer, so I'm still fucking dead. So you didn't do shit. You didn't extend my life any more than by having kids you extend my life. It's just a more accurate copy. Big fucking deal, right? Elon Musk, go fuck yourself. Anyway... I'm glad we settled that philosophical issue very quickly. I want to tell you to listen to The Orange Pill, or really to watch it if you want to see me. It was a fantastic episode. They interviewed this woman named Zomi, and she has this wonderful transcendental outlook on Bitcoin and people in general, and I have to watch or listen to it again. But look for Max Kaiser TV on YouTube. To watch the video, or if you just want to listen, you can look for Orange Pill Pod. Oh, for fuck's sake. Orange Pill Pod. Fuck me. I have to stop again. See, in my life as Madge, there's always going to be noise. There's always going to be horrible shit going on. And now I pause.
That's why it amazes me when people say I'm so alone. You have your angels, you have your guide.
I just Karen'd. I just called the police on the fucking car. Because it's some guy. It's some guy fiddling with a car. And then he's like... you know, he's playing with the wires on the inside of the car. It could be stolen. What do I know? Is that, am I Karen-ing? I don't know. To me, it looks suspicious. Yeah, anyway, you know. Yeah, so, anyway, what were we talking about before I Karen'd? Forgot. I Karen'd and I can't get back to my conversation about the M3 money supply. Oops. Excuse me? I don't know anything about that sort of thing. Let's see. Where was I? I think I'll sit on the stoop. I want to see if the police come due to my Karen'ing. Yeah. I've had too much coffee, audience. You know, I've known you, audience, long enough to tell you that I've had enough coffee. And I've had enough coffee, and I know that I'm not making any sense today at all. So, right. I have not made any sense. And I'm just Karen-ing on the corner of Broadway and Halsted Street, right in front of the Roscoe's. I want to see what's going on with the car alarm person. You know. I'm walking on Halsted now, but I don't see the police. I guess they're not coming because they don't make enough money. Am I insane? I think I might be. Well, could be a stolen car. I mean, you gotta give them something to do, right? Why do I feel so guilty about it? It's just that fucking car alarm. That's what it is. The fucking car alarm is so annoying, and I Karen'd. The car alarm ruined my podcast, and I Karen'd. I forgot what I was fucking talking about, so I called the police. Okay, you want an honest lesbian, that's what you got. I'm just telling you the fucking truth. I Karen'd because of the I Karen'd because it was annoying, so I Karen'd. Now I'm going to cross the street over to the levee. By levee, I mean 7-Eleven. What were they fucking talking about? Shit. Anyway, shoot. It was something interesting, I thought, because I felt like I was into talking about it, and I don't remember what it is that I was talking about. I think I like my show most when I don't know what I'm talking about and nothing makes sense at all. But sometimes you have to talk about nothing to talk about something. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to talk about something, Mary. Sometimes you have to talk about many things in order to make much sense when it comes to, well, let's be honest, money. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that at all. I'm going to talk about my trip to Detroit this weekend. I took a few days off of work. Well, it wasn't really my decision, but you know, my boss said, you got to take off work, Madge. And I suspect it's because they want everybody's vacation to bank depleted for when they fire us. Oh, there's the police. Call the police. There's a bad man around. Think you're mad. Too unstable. Call command screaming in a restaurant in a West End town. Oh, no, don't leave. I want the Karen. Don't leave before I Karen you. Oh, fuck. These police are so fucking slow. Damn it. Call the police. There's a bad man around. Repeat. Call the police. There's a bad man around. Call the police. There's a bad man around. Karen. Karen Weinstein. Oh, if only the word Karen began with M, my life would be so much more easy. Oh, there he is. Oh, yes. Oh, there's the police. Yes. There's the police. And they're asking the guy from Roscoe's, who's making tables, about the car alarm. Let's see what's happening. I'm glad I left because I don't want them talking to me. The car alarm guy is explaining something. And then he's talking to the Roscoe's guy. I realize I'm making no sense at all, and I don't know why you're bothering to listen to this show. I'm not going to give you any clues as to why you might be listening to this show. Oh, there's the alarm. Oh, goody. Oh, now I'm going to go over and watch. Now the car alarm went on again. This is exciting, audience. My Karen-ing is working. My Karening is working. How wonderful. Okay, audience, we're going undercover in the Karen department. We're going undercover and we're going to Karen this, checking out this Karen. I'm going to have to turn off, stop speaking for a bit. I'm going to stop speaking for a bit. Just because I don't want to see them to see me recording, do I? As I Karen this car. Shh. I'm still here, Mary. Oh, he's asking him for his ID to prove that he owns the car. Oh, good. My Karen worked. All right, I'm not going to stay. There's no reason to stay. It's not like anything is going to happen, but it's very exciting. Well, I'll just watch from afar, I guess. Call the police. There's a bad man around. Call the police. There's a bad man around. I'm just crazy. I am a crazy person. Oh, now the second car is coming. The second cop car is coming. Oh, this is an event, audience. I have Karened. I have Karened, audience. Oh, I have Karened, and I'm so pleased. I have Karened. Now there are two police cars spending my portion of one. I feel like I'm getting my money's worth for my property taxes. I Karened. And there's so many police. There's four cops for this one Karening. Hysterical. Just because it was bothering my podcast. Audience, I called the police because my podcast, I called it for you, audience. My podcast was interrupted. Oh my God, another cop car. Jesus, another cop car. So now we have one, two, three cop cars, probably four police. Oh, and that's the white guy. That's the, not white guy, the white shirt, which means he's the sergeant. This is amazing. These police are so bored. Okay, I'm going to walk across the street. I'm going to walk in, across this, I'm on the other side of the street. I'm just going to cross and casually talk to you in my gigantic camera recorder and see what's happening. Oh, yeah. One of the police has a mask, audience. A mask. Oh, there's all these police investigating this car. It's so exciting. And some girl was applauding the police. Maybe she Karened too. Maybe I'm not the only one, I don't know. Maybe I'm not the only one who Karened. Well, that was exciting, audience. It's fun to Karen. I'm just really glad I got my money's worth. And the guy who I Karened on was white. So please don't think I was racistly Karening. I wasn't. I was madging. Have I even said anything at all useful? No. I'm sorry to have such a boring M drop. Oops. M drop. Oops. Anyway, I went to Detroit this weekend. Not really weekend, because the weekend is now. No, today's Monday. I'm still off. I think it was like I went too much coffee. I went Thursday. Yeah, I think Thursday we went to Saugatuck to see what that's about, because I heard that Saugatuck is a fun place, but it wasn't. Of course, everything's closed anyway because of COVID. You know, we'd rented a car. I know what you're thinking. We rented a car. We didn't fly. So I didn't know where to go. So we decided to go to Detroit by way of Saugatuck. And it was just so... Saugatuck was weird. And we stayed at a hotel that was very creepy. And this guy was so... Who managed the hotel when we got there at night was so creepy. Well, first... Oh, it kind of gives me the willies. We stopped at this place called the Dunes. Because it's supposed to be like a hotel. One of the better rated hotels. And it was just so weird. There was like a lobby with these really bad trans queen. I don't want to say bad, but just let's just say they looked trans, but they also looked like me, I guess is the problem. Old trans women that looked like me, which is scary because I'm a woman, a real woman. So when I see a woman that looks like me that's really a man, it's I feel like I don't know what I'm doing with my life. You know, I don't. So we went there. I don't know. I don't even, this part of the story isn't even interesting. But so so we went there, and it just, all I can tell you is it stunk. The smell of the hotel room was so bad. It smelled like cigarettes. But the guy, the manager, was wearing flip-flops and these pants that were like 3 inches too long. And he's like hobbling along. He was kind of, I don't know, crippled or something. And he's just hobbling along and could barely breathe through his mask. And and the room was terrible. He had to show us how to open the window because it was disgusting. And yeah, I probably got the COVID from it. I mean, the room was like $150 a day. It wasn't cheap. But it was horrible. Just horrible. I was at Best Western, I think, in Saugatuck or Douglas, Michigan, something like that. Just disgusting. Yeah. So then we went in the morning to look around Saugatuck, and it's pretty, but there, I mean, obviously nothing's going on because of COVID. We wanted to go look at the little beach area, but that's $10 even to just drive through, so we didn't. And then we looked around, and there's like a little water area, and there's what they call a chain ferry where you manually ferry yourself to the other side, but that was closed too. So we had a great time COVID-ing weekend. But then we went to Detroit, which was much better, so we drove there, and I rented this little car. It was a Honda, and I loved this car. I haven't really driven in a while, and now there's CarPlay, which is amazing. It took me forever to learn to use the CarPlay, because I had it in the wrong hole, audience. I couldn't get it working. I'm like, I'm texting Deborah Wilkerson, because she knows technology, and I'm like, I can't get this fucking thing working. This fucking CarPlay doesn't work, and I'm pressing all the buttons, and I'm looking at the manual, and I'm Googling. Nothing fucking works. Well, guess what? What, Madge? A wrong hole. So I had it in the port, in the thing in the middle, right? The middle thing. What do you call that thing? There's a word for that thing that you lift up and you put shit in it. The in between the two bucket seats. Why is everything bucket seats now? When I was younger, everything had a bench seat in the front. You just all slid on in. Now they have bucket seats. Anyway, it wasn't that one. So then after much research, Deborah didn't help, I had it in the wrong hole. There's another port, USB port, right next to the steering or the radio column thing. You can't see it if you're a driver. You can only see it if you're a passenger. Very poorly placed, not lit up. Anyway, it's all their fault, not mine. Had to make sure I'm recording. I am. So I plugged it in, and then it worked. And boy, is that amazing to use Waze with CarPlay. It was like a whole new world. It was reminding me the first time I found out you can do, like, play the Flintstones Yabba Dabba Doo on a Macintosh when I had my first, I think it was a Mac Plus or something like that, when I worked for the state of something or other in 19-something. And I remember somebody showed me that you can make your Macintosh go yabba dabba doo and like play a digitized sound. I'd never heard a computer play anything digital or a digital video for that matter or anything, and it was like transported me to another universe. Like, wow, this is a world of possibility now. And I felt the same way when I did the CarPlay the other day. Like, wow, I can, it's like you plug in this wire and now you have your phone on a big screen and it's easier to use. And yeah, it was amazing, the Waze. So real happy about that. And then it had this control for, has a new version of cruise. Maybe this is all familiar to you suburban people who drive. I don't drive, I'm a city gal. Many, many miles I drove. I'm a city gal. And I drove a lot. Anyway, so many, many miles. Yeah, I drove many, many miles. City gal. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And it was amazing, all the driving. No, where was I? Oh, yeah, so they have this radar cruise control thing. And I know this is probably, you're like, who is this old bitch that doesn't know about radar cruise control? But I didn't know this thing existed. I don't read Car and Body magazine or whatever. I don't know about that shit. Hear the cicadas? Many, many marvelous insects making noise. Cicadas. Anyway, so when you have radar cruise control, you can set your, let's say you have your cruise control set for like 80, and then you're creeping up against among a car, again, to a car that's going, let's say, 70. The radar cruise control at the appropriate distance, which you set in another way, then slows you down. So you have it. You don't touch the cruise control. You don't touch the gas pedal, and it slows down in a very nice way. And then you, it's really amazing. You just slow down, and you don't have to touch. So it's just a huge improvement. And then they have this other thing called, I don't know what it's called, but it's like lane assist or something. Like you get assist, not CYST. That would be good though. A lane assist. I'm going to walk this way. But this thing doesn't work as well. So I think it's supposed to help you stay in the lane. But when you turn it on, you still have to hold the steering wheel. But if you hold the steering wheel, then you're sort of overriding the lane assist. And then, like, so if I take my hands off the steering wheel, most of the time it works. But then it'll say, no, you got to hold the steering wheel. But if you hold the steering wheel, you have to hold it really lightly, or it doesn't work. If you hold it too lightly, it says you got to hold the steering wheel. If you hold it too heavily, then it overrides it. So the whole feature is kind of worthless. But, and then sometimes you can, if you find just the right pressure so that you're holding on to it, but not too lightly, so it's actually doing the assist for you, like staying in lane. But then you, but then it may say like, oops, stopped working. And then it'll say like, it'll beep, 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 lane assist not available, right? Because I guess it can't see the lines on the road, so it's kind of a dumb feature, but it was fun to play with, I guess. Don't really understand it, though. Do you, audience? Do you understand it? I certainly don't do. I don't do. Oh, what's next? What else, audience? Somebody's moving in. Somebody is moving into an apartment on a Monday. Is today the last day of August? Do I get paid today or do I get paid tomorrow? I never remember. Is it the 1st and 15th or 15th and 30th? I just don't know. I never remember. You know, some things you just have mental blocks. I guess that's what you call it. Fuck, now I have to pee. But Detroit was lovely. And the thing that stood out to me about Detroit is that it really strikes me as a worker city. Like, on the riverfront was very interesting. So there's a riverfront on the Detroit River. And if you look across the Detroit River, you see Windsor, Canada. And it felt really strange because you can't go to Windsor, Canada because of the COVID. You're not allowed to. So you have to stay in the country. But it reminded me of when I visited like East Berlin, West Berlin, I think around 2000, so maybe 10 years after the wall fell. And you could still see a lot of leftovers from the Berlin Wall and the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. And, you know, they told us stories, the tours told us stories about how, you know, people would be able to look at relatives they hadn't seen but couldn't touch them. And, you know, maybe they couldn't see them, I don't know. You know, you can read about the story. I don't need to tell you about that. But wow, it felt like that to me. Like, I really felt trapped in America. I thought, I can't go to Canada. Any other time, I could go to fucking Canada. And why should I? Because I fucking should be able to, being a free human being. But Right now I can't. I felt kind of trapped. And then later I was looking at this map where it shows all the countries we're not allowed to travel to as Americans because we fucked up COVID so badly. Fucking almost everywhere. There's like a few dumb countries that let us in, like, what's that one with Bolsonaro? Brazil. But by far, everything's red. We can't go there. And then I was on some forum, some chat, or Twitter sheet or something, and I'm like, you know, Trump has fucked up this COVID response. And they're like, well, what should he have done? Well, the answer's simple. We should have done what China did. And China, you know, did a totalitarian crackdown, and they got rid of COVID in a few weeks. Yeah, that's what we should have fucking done. The point is, we could have done something. We didn't. So now there's like almost 200,000 dead, and we're still locked down. Our economy's screwed and everything because we're just stretching it out forever. Many, many maladies, audience. So many. So, anyway, Detroit. So, it's just lovely. But besides that depressing bit of information, audience, the thing is, there's a fire hydrant without the dirt around it. I've never seen a fire hydrant with its whole dick out. You know what I mean? Like, I see the whole dick. I'm not going to even explain that. You can figure it out. You know what I mean. So the whole, like, riverfront area, at least where I was, it has all these monuments dedicated to workers. And I just can't think of... And I've seen that, like, in Eastern European countries when they have, like, these Soviet mega monuments. There's a word for that, giantism or something like that. But they had these monuments that are all dedicated to the workers who built Detroit. And beautiful sculptures. Like, one was a giant fist on pulley, on, like, cables. Looked like a fisting sculpture, but it was for workers. Another one was this big circle, and it's dedicated to the men and women who built Detroit. And then there was this other sculpture right on the riverfront itself, and I posted on my Instagram, Madge Weinstein, and it was about the Underground Railroad. It was a bunch of black people sort of together. And then there was an inscription that wrote about how the black people before slavery was illegal here, even in the North, they weren't as safe as you would hope or think, so they escaped to Canada. So, and it was part of the Underground Railroad. You know, you always hear about, at least when I grew up, okay, I always heard about the Underground Railroad was basically Harriet Tubman getting people from the slave states to the free states. But that's not the story told on this plaque. This story was like, no, it didn't end there. They still had to get the fuck out of America. So they went to Canada. Fascinating. And because slavery was made illegal in Canada, I think like 30 years before it was banned in America. But of course we have revisionist history, as Malcolm Gladwell would call it. Yes, she would. Yes, she certainly would. She would call it that. Revisionist history. So that was so impressive. And then we went to a record store. I forget the name, Melodies and Memories. And I'm like, I think it might have been the most amazing record store I've ever been to for used records and music and CDs. They had everything imaginable. And I bought some albums. Maybe I'll play now, today on the show. I don't know. Maybe not. I got some rare albums, including like a Flip Wilson and Drag, some bloopers from the radio, and some, oh, Marx Brothers, like a 3-record thing. And they had so many copies of so many items. It was just unbelievable. And they're organized so well. And lunch boxes everywhere. Lunch boxes. And all kinds of weird memorabilia. They had Laurel and Hardy 8mm films. Films. Like in cardboard boxes. Films. Like they put in a film projector. Laurel and Hardy. Amazing. Just, oh, I just love that stuff. And then, like, they had some old magazines. Sort of like 1950s, you know, TV gossip magazines that was all about Lucille Ball and shit. Maybe it was the 60s because there was one with Elizabeth Montgomery of Bewitched. Just, oh, I just love to see those things that just pop out of history. You get it. I just love to see normal stuff, artifacts from different periods of time. And to me, that's one of the main reasons why I do this. well, show audiences. I just want to have a time capsule in a way to just show people in the future what it's like. Now, there's some shows that deliberately do that, like, what is it called? There's one show I listen to with the two guys, the one Ken Jennings from Jeopardy, the Omnibus podcast, is one of my favorites, because their premise is that they do a show for future species, basically, after whatever wipes out our civilization does. Their show is designed so that it will teach people about our culture in the way distant future when humans aren't even the ones listening. So, and that, my God, what was that? Something amazing, audience. I seen something amazing. Anyway, oh, and so, and downtown Detroit is lovely, really. Everything's been redone, and it's very quiet and empty, and they told us, people told us that, you know, they were in this big revitalization, and COVID came, but it was just pretty, and nice little shops, not crowded. They have that, a lot of, like, bike shops. Like, they really pride themselves. It seems to be a city where they pride themselves on manufacturing, even though they don't really manufacture much there anymore, I guess. But they did have some bike shops, and it seems to me that they make a lot of high-quality bicycles in Detroit. And I just browse through some, and they're just these beautiful bicycles that are custom made, and one was all pickles everywhere, and you know, and the hotels all have their own branded bicycles. Like, they have the Shinola company. They have a hotel, the Shinola company is from Detroit. I think they use, that's shoe polish, right? But they also make bicycles, and they have like bicycles for their people who stay there. We didn't stay there, too expensive, but then the hotel we stayed at had its own bicycles with brands on it. I don't remember the name of our hotel, but it was very noisy. It was kind of like a boutique-ish hotel, but in the hipster neighborhood, Cornerstone or something. I don't remember the name. Corkville, maybe? Something like that. But there was like, they advertised, you know, you have private parking and a secure private parking area, right? Except in what they don't tell you is in the private parking area, there's people playing really loud music all night. With their cars' engines on to show off their cars to, I guess, themselves, and very thin walls, like Cheryl's walls. I don't know about her walls. Somebody was asking me, why did you take off Walls Fall Out from Insane Films on YouTube? I didn't fucking take that shit off. Are you kidding? YouTube took it off. I'm so sick of that censorship. You notice when I post videos on yeastradio.com, I host them myself. I'm going to have to get back to that, because so that's, censorship is fucking bullshit. It really is. I'm just sick of it. Sick of it. Look at my orange hand. Orange-handed lesbian. That's me. She's on the phone. Uh-oh. Okay. I'm being summoned. Let's see. 5 minutes. Okay, so I'm being summoned home for my breakfast, even though it's 1 p.m. I woke up really late, audience. It's my second to last vacation day, and I woke up late. Sorry I woke up late. I never sleep in, but it felt glorious to sleep in. I have told you nothing. I've talked about nothing, except Detroit was really a lovely city. And everybody I told them going to Detroit, they're like, why would you go there? It's gross. I think Detroit has a PR problem more than anything. It's very livable. Felt like I could totally see myself living downtown Detroit. They have these apartment buildings in the middle of a beautiful little downtown where you can walk everywhere. And it's cute. I could see myself living there. You know, if I had a telecommute job and I don't have to drive anywhere to an office, rent a car when necessary. It's pretty lovely. And just go to some nice restaurants. People seem to know each other. And they have all the bicycles and all the scooters and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So, it was lovely. I don't know. Today's show wasn't very interesting. I don't feel like I talked about anything. I just careened. Careening. I careened to you. Let me fax for you. Did I shit today? Why do I still have to shit? I think I did shit. Let me fax for you. What else about Detroit? I think that's about it. I wish I had more time to, like... The problem with the record store is wasn't one of those record stores where you can sample, listen to the music. Not easily, anyway, without asking special permission. But I would have liked... Because I think techno came from Detroit. From what I understand, techno kind of came from Detroit and Berlin. But I'm not really sure how that all worked. But I would love to have had time to go through all the techno music and find some stuff to play for ya, but I didn't. So that's that. All right, I'm home now, audience, and I guess I'll mix in some of my musical finds now. But I probably won't produce this grum till later because I'm in trouble. Bye.
Not everything was grim on Golden Radio. The unexpected was the rule, for everything was done live, not pre-recorded. And here's Jack Benny back to tell you of some of the lighter moments in the news.
Yes, Frank, there have been flubs throughout radio's history. The most famous occurred when announcer Harry Bonzel introduced President Herbert Hoover like this. The next voice you will hear will be that of the President Hubert Heaver.
That was a classic, of course. And Lowell Thomas told me of a moment on his famous news commentary.
Yes, Lowell sent us a recording of that program. It seems that announcer Hugh James smiled at the right moment during the broadcast. This is the result, just as it was broadcast.
Well, all the first thing you were Phil Harris, the band leader, she explains that working so hard all day in the film studio, she is sometimes not in such perfectly good humor. And she snaps about me. Which is all wrong. To which I say, you're all for us. And I'll leave the rest of it to you.
Lowell, tomorrow's the 1st of May. That means that summertime is rushing toward us. And when hot weather gets here, it puts an added responsibility on the oil that's in your motor. For then, the oil must do three things. It must help keep your motor clean, must keep it well lubricated, and must help carry off excess heat. And for years, Sunoco Oil has been doing all three of these things. Now Lowell Thomas says,
so long until tomorrow.
This program came to you from New York.
The news itself had its lighter side, Frank. One of the finest newsmen on the American Broadcasting Company staff was Julian Anthony. And he, too, made a kind of history one evening. Julian gave us special permission to play this tape. I think it's probably one of the genuinely funniest moments ever to be broadcast.
In the wonder world of science, uranium has been discovered a few hundred yards from the White House and nearly 300 feet up. It's in the granite of the Washington Monument, but not valuable or dangerous. Back here in New York, the Hayden Planetarium has heard from a Minnesota man who claims that the shape of Aurora Borealis, the northern lights, can be changed by flapping a bedsheet at them from the ground. The planetarium doubts it, but the man says he did successfully flap sheets in his backyard one midnight, though his wife kept hollering at him to cut out the foolishness and get back in the house. This is Julian Anthony reporting.
Yes, even the very best in the business were caught up by the unexpected.
You mentioned earlier that radio had perfected the variety show format. But, Jack, I bet you didn't know that way back in 1925, radio station WGBS in New York came up with this brand new idea. A real variety show in a minstrel version. I think you'll enjoy listening to Daley Paskman's minstrels just as they were then.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? We have the pleasure of bringing to you the happy and highly popular Daley Paskman Radio Minstrels. The old-time minstrels have assembled here to bring back to your memory those golden tunes and mirth-provoking jokes of minstrel days gone by, recalling songs and jokes you forgot to remember. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, to the opening of our minstrel show by the entire company. Gentlemen, be seated. Those two incomparable end men, Mr. Bones on my right and Mr. Tambo on my left. Good evening, Mr. Bones. How did you like the singing?
Oh, brother, that singing was just wonderful.
You know, singing is their hobby.
Their what?
Their hobby.
What do you call a hobby?
Why, Mr. Bones, a hobby is anything a man gets his greatest pleasure out of. I see you don't understand, so I'll try and explain. Now, for instance, my hobby is singing. Another man's hobby may be dancing. Another man may like to tinker with machinery. Another man may like to rake the garden. That's his hobby.
Yes, everybody has a hobby.
That's right. Everybody has a hobby. And what is your hobby?
Women!
Now, Mr. Bones, didn't I understand you to say you were a married man?
Yes, I'm married, but that ain't no hobby.
Grand finale by the entire company.
Jack, radio allowed us to fill in the details with the magic paintbrush of imagination. I wonder if that's the reason that radio was able to capture pathos on a scale far more personal than television or even the motion picture.
Yes, radio let the listener add something of himself to every broadcast. I remember two broadcasts from the Yankee Stadium in New York that are as vivid as though I heard them yesterday.
You're probably thinking of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and the strange fate that entwined their destinies. Both were great names in baseball. Both played for the New York Yankees. They even tried their hand at a radio show.
Hey, Babe, you've taken off a lot of weight in the past few years.
Look at my figure, kid.
All you've got to do now is to diet for 10 or 15 more years, and you'll almost look human.
Boy, I'm careful of what I eat these days.
Listen, Babe, you have a farm where you grow your own food, don't you?
Yes, I have a farm.
What do you raise there?
Lots of things. Celery, for instance.
Really? You raise celery?
Of course. Why the surprise?
I thought Colonel Rupert was the fellow that always raised your celery.
I said celery, not salary.
As radio performers, they were great baseball players. I think a golden moment of radio touched with rare emotion was that afternoon at Yankee Stadium when Babe Ruth said goodbye to his fans. Every seat in the Giant Stadium was filled. The great Babe was dying of throat cancer.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. That means the boy. And if you're a boy and grow up to know how to play ball, then you come to the boys you see representing themselves today in your national pastime. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball.
And it was only a few years later that another sorrowing crowd filled Yankee Stadium. This time, it was to say so long to Lou Gehrig, for he was fatally ill and had not long to live.
Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Jack, I don't think pictures would have helped either scene. I know that when I listened, I could picture easily those two men dwarfed by the immensity of the stadium. Yet their words were big and clean and brave. For sheer unabashed sentimentality, radio certainly was the winner, hands down. It could deliver a message that stayed with its listeners. For many years, Amos and Andy's Christmas show included this sequence, and certainly it contained the essence of love.
Daddy, can I turn on the little radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Well, just for a minute or two, darling. I'll snap it on for you. There he is. Now, we let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby.
Oh, music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Well, let me straighten your covers out a little bit. Did you say your prayers, honey?
Mommy heard my prayers before she went out, Daddy.
The Christmas choir continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Well, now, get under the covers, honey.
Daddy, could you get some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. They're going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
I've been saying the Lord's Prayer with Mommy. She's been teaching it to me.
I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
It means an awful lot, and with the world like it is today, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before.
But what does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
The Lord's Prayer? Well, darling, I'll explain it to you.
Oh, will you, Daddy?
Now, you lay down and you listen.
All right.
Now, the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, that means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can dwell. And then it says, Hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. That means, darling, as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then earth will be like heaven.
That would be wonderful, Daddy.
Give us this day our daily bread. That means to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, love, and courage, which will make us strong for our daily tasks. And after that, the next line says, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You remember the golden rule, honey?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want others to do unto us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right, so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything that's bad. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That means, darling, in all the world and everything that's in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Your mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we know it, that, my dear girl, is the real spirit of Christmas.
That's good, Daddy.
I know that the old must give way to the new, that progress and technological improvement must bring change. But I do think that something good was lost when radio tipped its hat to television.
Yes, Frank, I think you're right.
Jack, our deepest thanks for your help and guidance in compiling this living memory book. It's been a wonderful and sentimental journey. And you and I have shared our fondest memories of radio with our listeners. And perhaps we've helped them to rekindle the memory of beloved friends. And especially the warmth of a family sharing imaginations together. Now we invite you to gather your family and friends around you and enjoy the special full-length Arch Obler drama on the final side of this treasury. This is Frank Knight speaking to you as I have done these many years on behalf of the Longines Symphonette.
Excuse me, ma'am. I don't need to hear you doing that. You can't hang up the phone.